Good morning and welcome to our service. Once again, we're delighted to welcome back Christine McWhirter, who'll lead our worship today and again next Sunday. After the service, as always, there's the chance to join us via Zoom for the lockdown chat. Contact details for this have been emailed to members and will be on the screen at the end of the service. Most of you will know that our thrift shop in Llanbraid has been closed during the lockdown period. At present, we're not yet sure when we'll be able to open up again. However, even though it's currently closed, the thrift shop is still having a positive contribution. Half of its income goes to Christian Aid, and back in May, we sent off £2,000 to support their work. The other half of the income is for supporting local needs through our appeals fund. The Kirk Session decided at its recent meeting to donate £2,000 each to three charities in our area, and all have now received these funds: Murray Women's Aid, the Mistotlough Community Larder, and the Llanbraid Community Centre for its programme of providing meals locally. On Wednesday, remember that we try to take a minute or two at 1 o'clock to pray for the future of our church, as we consider eventually when and how we can restart services, as we continue to engage with our community, sharing the good news of Jesus with them, and as we look for God to guide us to finding the right person to be our minister. On Wednesday evening, you can meet up with us for our midweek chat session. The access details for this will be emailed beforehand.
Good morning and welcome to all to our online service of worship for St Andrew's Llanbraid and Urquhart Parish. I'm very pleased to be with you and very glad to be sharing in worship with you today. Wherever we physically are and whatever sort of week we have had, it is great we can take time to join together and be as one in Christ, to sing, to learn, and to love. Friends, let us worship God today, for God is great. God has blessed us with life, with faith, and with community. Let us worship God today, for God is good. God forgives us and encourages us and loves us. Let us worship God today. Because we are God's people, let us worship God. Our first hymn this morning is from Mission Praise 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We will be singing verses 1 and 3 and the choruses.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Later in our service today, we are going to be looking at one of the healing miracles in the New Testament from John's Gospel. Healing was a very important aspect of Jesus' ministry while he was living as a human being on earth. Healing is going to be a very important part of our lives in the next few months and even years as the world continues to deal with the coronavirus pandemic and slowly emerges from the damages the restrictions have caused. Now, we don't have healing powers like Jesus. Some human beings have excellent medical skills or are really good listeners or have been blessed with certain abilities. Have you ever heard, though, the expression, laughter is the best medicine? With that in mind, I have a few statements from a Caithness school test that made me chuckle when I read them. The school children were asked questions about the Old and New Testaments. There were 25 statements altogether, but we don't have time for all of those today. But I have randomly selected some to share with you. In the first book of the Bible, Guinness, God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. The Jews were a proud people, and throughout history, they had trouble with unsympathetic genitals. Moses led the Jews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread without any ingredients. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The seventh commandment is, "Thou shalt not admit adultery." Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still, and Joshua's son obeyed him. When Mary heard she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to do unto others before they do one to you. He also explained, a man doth not live by sweat alone. The people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. St. Paul cavorted to Christianity. He preached holy acrimony, which is another name for marriage. Christians have only one spouse. This is called monotony. I hope these gave you a few chuckles today, and we can bear these in mind when we consider the healing process later in our service. Now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for calling us into the company of those who trust in Christ and seek to obey his will. You have made us a family in Christ and pilgrims together on the way to your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for friendship and duty, for good hopes and precious memories, for the joys that cheer us and the trials that teach us to trust in you and the healing we can experience every day. In this coming week, Lord, many of us will welcome the clear skies of life, but others will face the storms. Remind us, Lord, you always walk with us and carry us through the times of trial. Like the shepherd watches over their flock, steer us and guide us closer to you and one another, that we shall not drift from your path. Refresh in us, Lord, patience and strength, and ignite in us once again the passion of the Holy Spirit. Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a heart to love you and a will to serve you. Our knowledge is imperfect, our obedience incomplete. Day by day we fail to grow into your likeness. We fail to let your kingdom come, yet you are slow to be angry with your children. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, we know you do not hold our sins against us. but in your tender love you forgive. You know the sins on our hearts, but in your tender love you forgive. As we are gathered before you now, Lord, we confess to you our sins, and we know in your tender love you forgive. Take our weaknesses, Lord, and make it our strength. Take our darkness, Lord, and make it our light. Take our sorrows and make it our comfort and peace. From everlasting to everlasting, you, Heavenly Father, are our God. Let us join in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Bible readings this morning come from Psalm 145, verses 1 to 2, then 9 to 16, and from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Isabel Spence will be reading for us today.
The first reading is from Psalm 145, verses 1 to 2, and then verses 9 to 16. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all of those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And the second reading is from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, the healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Amen, and thanks be to God.
To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. Some of you may recognise that first line from a song the birds sang called "Turn, Turn, Turn." Considering the current pandemic, another line from that song is very relevant too. It's a time you may embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. As we slowly emerge from the restrictions, there are a lot of things for people to think about. One priority for many will be the opportunity to see family and friends again, and not just on screen. It's quite natural, as we emerge from the restrictions, that we see the next few weeks and months as a time for healing. And this will be the case for many aspects of life. For many, though, it may also be a time with many problems. Almost every day at the moment, we can see news of yet another company announcing cutbacks and redundancies. The world is going to face many problems and decisions. In our reading today, we learn about a man who had been dealing with significant problems his whole life and what he faced after his encounter with Jesus. We are told from the first verse of the passage in John's Gospel that Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus was there to celebrate one of the Jewish festivals. We know that Jesus entered Jerusalem through the Sheep Gate. This was the gate that was used to bring the sheep to the temple for sacrifice. Once inside Jerusalem, Jesus went to the pool called Bethesda. And lying all around that pool were those who were poor, sick, lame, disabled, and had many other ailments. Now the people who were lying there were doing so because it was said that on occasion the angel of the Lord stirred the pool, and whoever was first to get into it would be healed. All the people lying around the pool were waiting for it to be their turn to be first into the pool and healed. There was one man there that day who was paralysed, and he had waited 38 years for his turn to be healed. 38 years is a lot of patience. I had to stop and really think about the significance of that length of time. So far, we have had very strict restrictions upon us for 3.5 months. Some of the biggest impacts in that time have been on our personal freedoms and the ability to see family, friends and colleagues in our church family in person. The wait to be free from those restrictions has seemed like a very long time for many people. Waiting, though, can mean different things for us and can be hard or easy depending on what it is we are waiting for. Such as, I hate onions. So if someone was to tell me I was going to have to wait another 40 years until I ate another piece of onion, that wouldn't bother me in the slightest. In fact, I would be telling them I wouldn't mind waiting another 50 or 60 years. Equally, if someone told me I was going to need to wait another 40 years until I could have an ice cream, that definitely would bother me. So in our own ways, each of us have been waiting. So after the man who has waited 38 years, Jesus, at verse 5, asks the man if he wants to get well. Now, on the face of it, doesn't this sound like a really daft question from Jesus with an obvious answer? The man was an invalid. Just think of all the things in his life he had missed out on because of his condition. Most probably, most of his natural life and his milestones that we all experience, he had missed out on: education, playing games, having a family, relationships, earning a living. Considering this, surely the man wouldn't hesitate to accept the opportunity to be healed. So why does Jesus ask what appears to be a stupid question? Jesus never asks stupid questions. Jesus very deliberately gave the man the opportunity to choose to be healed or not. Jesus is not forcing a cure or healing on the man. When I read the verse about Jesus asking the man if he wanted to be healed, I was reminded of the William Holman Hunt's painting, Light of the World, which some of you may be familiar with, shows Jesus in a garden scene, knocking at a door which does not have a handle on the outside, and it therefore can only be opened from the inside. It would be very natural, on the one hand, for us to assume there is very little chance the man would turn down being cured. Let's have a look at the other hand for a moment. Many people don't like change. At times, I am one of those people. If it is just change for the sake of change, I will be cautious about that. It is natural for us to form lifestyles, routines, and we can be upset when those routines are interfered with. However good the intentions are for that change. The invalid man, just like you and me, would have had a routine and a way of life, and a very specific one centred around his condition. Remember, Jesus had, after all, encountered him by Bethesda, where the man probably lay beside on a regular basis. The man very likely had to beg for his living, as there was no welfare state in those days to support those who could not earn their own living. The man would have been dependent on others, providing him with money and shelter. If he chose to be healed, there's a strong possibility he would then face new challenges. He would lose the securities he had known for those 38 years. He would have had to look for a job and support himself, perhaps a new home as well. What about the impact on his family? What about the man's friends? After lying by the pool for so many years, he may have made friends there, and healing may force him to let go of those friends. Would we welcome with open arms the thought of losing friends we had had for 38 years? Healing sounds great on the face of it. He would be able to enjoy life like he hadn't been able to do so for the entirety of his life. But it also carried a lot of challenges and risks. For 38 long years, the man had accepted his condition and formed his life around it. Being healed by Jesus that day would be a leap of faith into the unknown. So Jesus has asked the question, "Do you want to be healed?" Let us now look carefully at the man's response. We need to consider that the man does not directly answer Jesus' question. As we read in verses 6 to 7, the man does not say to Jesus that he wants to be healed, nor asks that it be Jesus to heal him. Instead, the man explains about his problems and complains even that someone else always gets into the pool before he can do so. I think we can all relate to what the man is saying to Jesus in his complaints. We all from time to time have experienced the feeling that others are getting to the finish line before us, and we feel like saying, when will it be my turn? I should have reached my goals first, or at the very least at the same time. So what is Jesus' response to the man's complaints? Jesus very simply says to the man, get up, take up your mat, and walk. Right there is the choice the man has. You can't miss it. His choice is to get up and walk, or remain where he was and had been for 38 years. Today and in the days and weeks and months to come, we will have choices and decisions to make. Jesus gave the man a choice to engage in being healed. It was the man's turn, although this time there wasn't the need for him to try to get into the water. As we emerge from the restrictions, we have a choice too. The choice is if we are going to take part in the healing process that will not only affect ourselves but others too. Let's be realistic. There were many practical and at the time spiritual laws and other reasons for the man not to believe in Jesus, not to act in faith, not to get up and not be healed. One of the things that particularly interests me in this passage is that Jesus could have simply said to the man, get up and walk, and not mentioned anything about the man's mat. But Jesus specifically mentions it. Why? During his time on earth, Jesus taught many things. One of the things he specifically taught was against the unnecessary religious laws the religious leaders imposed on people, such as forbidding any work being done on the Sabbath, which included carrying anything. There were many reasons why the man could have simply stayed lying on his mat and chosen not to be healed. Are there many reasons for why we should not engage fully in the healing and recovery process in the next few weeks and months? There are indeed. The threat from coronavirus has not gone away, and people have genuine and real fears of interacting with others again, as it may risk them catching the virus. In the last few months, we have been forced to establish new routines, as we have not been going out as much as what we used to. We haven't been seeing as many people. Are we ready to let some aspects of those new routines go, just like the man let go of his normal routine? The invalid man chose to be healed, and with that came the prospect of changing at least some of the routine he had established over the years. During the course of the restrictions, we have had to abandon some of the religious routine and practices we have been used to for so many years, such as actively meeting in our church buildings, taking a physical monetary offering, not using hymn books in the same manner, and there are many more examples. Just as Jesus encouraged the man to go against the unnecessary practice of not being able to carry his mat on a Sabbath, we need to consider what religious practices we really do need to take forward with us as we engage in the time of healing, and which ones we need to discard. Which reminds me of the orange in a glass of water example from Connect last week. In the final verses of the passage, the man is actively challenged by the religious leaders as to why he is carrying his mat on a Sabbath. At first, the man has no idea it was Jesus who had healed him and instructed him to pick up his mat. But Jesus sought out the man later in the temple and gave him encouragement by saying, "See, you are well again." Jesus is not going to encourage us to go against unnecessary religious or society rules and then just abandon us. He didn't abandon the former invalid, and he won't abandon us. The man needed a lot of courage that day to accept being healed and to go against the unnecessary religious laws. He already had a big challenge ahead for him, building a new life, and going against the unnecessary religious practice could have given the religious leaders reason to make his new life very difficult indeed. But the man did not face any of that alone. As we face the choice about healing and new normal, we won't face any of that alone either. On top of the radical plan and many other things that the Church of Scotland and indeed many other churches, religious organisations in the world are facing today and the days and weeks to come. For many of us, we have our personal friends, family, colleagues and the church family with us. Most importantly though, in Christ, we are never alone. And I hope that the passage speaks to you as it did to me, that God will bless us as we heal and deal with the new normal. We do have to make the choice though to engage with that healing, regardless of what personal, professional and challenges that may present for us as a church, as a church family, and even as the larger national church. We have a choice. God gives us that choice. It will be interesting in the days, weeks and months to come. Will we choose to be healed? Will we choose to engage? As we pray and as we think about our healing and other things for the rest of this service, let us think about that healing process. Amen. Our next hymn is The Lord's My Shepherd by Stuart Townend.
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust,
I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil. And my cup, it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight. And I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows. Your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. For you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
Our Our prayer of intercession today will be led by Sheila Silvestre. Let us pray.
Let us pray. Listening God, hear our prayers as we come to you with love and trust in our hearts. We read in Luke chapter 18 how Jesus told a parable to show his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. So we come to you constantly. We bring our praise, our requests, and our regrets. We thank you for Jesus' example in how we should pray, and also the priority he made prayer in his own life. He prayed to listen to you. Help us to do that too. We pray, listening God, for your wisdom, for our leaders in local and national assemblies, that they may be motivated by people's welfare and the nurture of our world and its resources. May profit take second place to justice, and may truth always triumph over greed. Generous God, we give thanks for the scientists, care workers, nurses, emergency service people, and doctors who are all working round the world to help people affected by COVID-19. We pray your blessing on them. We pray for strength, skill, patience, perseverance, and a sense of humour. We give thanks also in this country for our bin men, electricity and water industry workers, those who keep our shops supplied and work in them, our farmers, fishermen, food processors, and IT workers. May we never take them for granted. Creative God, you gave us all imaginations, so help us use them in these strange times we live in. Help us to use our imaginations to find different ways of encouraging and helping others, some who are lonely, some grieving, some struggling with finance, and some struggling with self-confidence. We miss gathering physically as your church. We miss sharing a cup of tea or coffee with friends. Some miss seeing families and friends due to distance. And some grieve that they could not attend funerals to say a formal thank you and goodbye to a family member or friend. Help us sit with them in their grief. Compassionate God, we pray for those affected by the events in Glasgow last weekend. We pray for refugees and asylum seekers that they will be given dignity and medical help as they need it. They, like us, are your children, so help us stand up for those who have no voice in our society. Reassuring God, whenever we feel down or fearful, resentful or anxious, may we turn to Jesus and his words, where he assures us that we are not alone. He has promised to be with us to the end of the world. And we make all our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn is from Mission Praise 269, I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3 with the choruses.
I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide, you show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all.
I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there. But one is near who fully knows, I'll trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all.
My thanks to all who contributed and helped put together the service last week and this week. Heavenly Father, bless all who worship you, from the rising of the sun to its setting. From your goodness, Lord, enrich us. By your love, inspire us. By your Spirit, guide us. By your power, protect us. And in your mercy, receive us. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be with us all, this day and in all our days to come.